good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. This is Shawnee. Good to see you again. We got a couple others sneaking in on me. I know Maya back there, but isn't Christian one of you or something? What did you say your name was? Isn't that right? You're not going to tell me, are you? Who are? Emily and Carly. Man, where did I get Christian from? I don't know, man. I guess we're just in church or something. But it's good to have you all with us tonight. It's good to see all normal folk, too. Hallelujah. Man, Brother John, you just seem way too far back there right now. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, but amen, it is. It's an honor and a privilege, and I pray you come to service that way. Kind of wasting your time otherwise. You know, we got other things we could be doing, but when there's something on the human heart that says, Lord, I want to hear from God. I believe that the house of God ought to be the place to go to hear from Him. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to get right into the Word if we can tonight. Got a thought burning on my heart. It's been here even pretty much before last week as I've been studying here in the book of Revelations. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20. So we've been talking about that Laodicean condition, you know, and it is a terrible thing to think about how lukewarm the world we live in is and how wishy-washy just about everything in life has become. I'm in my Bible now. I love it. Not songs, in the Bible now. But Revelation chapter 3, and just listen here. I'll let you be seated in a moment. Just three verses here. Revelation 3, chapter 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I like to preach tonight on the open invitation. The open invitation. Let's bow our heads before the Lord and with our heads bowed and our hearts also. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to God tonight? He knows every hand and He knows every heart. You just pray the way that you pray. Invite the Lord into the service. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us to the house of God tonight, knowing that we could be many other places doing many other things. But Lord, we come to have that consecrated time away from the things of the world, away from even our obligations in this life, to say, Lord, we want to hear your voice speak to us once again. Lord, the one that loved us, the one that cared for us, Lord, you promised to be the same today as you've always been, and we pray that tonight you'll speak to every need that's here. May the Word of God come off the pages into the heart of everyone that's here. May you heal every sickness. May you deliver every captive heart. May those that are empty be filled. May those that's come under the pressures of the enemy, may tonight be the night of deliverance. Lord, and may everything that's said and done here tonight bring you much glory and much praise. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you so much. We thank you that we can even feel your Spirit here with us already. And I pray that you have the preeminence in this service. Commit it all into your hands in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. So we've been combing through the book of Revelations, and I'm not going to try to backdrop for too long. But the Laodicean condition, you'll read right there in Revelations chapter 3, 14 down to 19. And God don't really have a whole lot of good to say about the age that we live in. Pretty much everything we have has been deteriorated, been defiled in some way. What we used to think is right is now wrong, and what used to be wrong is now right. Satan doesn't want anybody to have any sort of grips on that. There is an absolute truth somewhere. There's somewhere where you can rest your soul on and know that no matter what happens today, what happens tomorrow, what I'm standing on can stand the test of time. And when the influence, as we said, it didn't just start on the outside. Many people can recognize maybe the world out there, maybe recognize that Satan would make you commit adultery or murder or be a drunkard or all these things. But when we watch that Satan has now flipped the script and worked his way right into the church and began, instead of people actually getting delivered, they become religious. And they think that means something before God, or that as long as I show up or as long as I do my religious duty, God accepts that. Brother, sister, that's not what we're talking about when it's the gospel. The gospel is the good news, but it's only good news if you receive it. Amen. Amen. The same Jesus, I know many people like to nitpick and grab what they like and get rid of what they don't like. But the same Jesus that said that God sent his son because he loved you and wanted to save the world is the same Jesus that looked some people in the eyes and said, you're of your father the devil. So this Jesus that we have, he doesn't come to your level. You got to come to his. Ooh, that get quite fast, didn't it? You know why? Because our unbelief, if we don't believe God, it doesn't matter how many times I read the scripture. It doesn't matter how many times the Spirit of God will walk right through here and prove himself the same. Tell people what they're thinking. Tell them what they're praying. Heal every sickness that's ever come in this place. Amen. Why do y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about? Amen. You're the very people it's happened to. And he come by service after service, time after time. And what begins to happen that people get their eyes off that somehow and think there's something cocked up between people. Or that I've studied these things so long, I figured it all out. That have nothing to do with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same now as he ever was. Amen. And if there was a man that could walk and look at a tomb of a man that's been dead 4 days and not even be worried about it, hallelujah, saying, I'm down there for God's glory, and say, roll away that stone. They said, oh my, he's already done decayed in that grave. He said, I told you to roll away the stone. You roll it away. Amen. And they finally rolled that stone away. That little frail man straightened up his shoulders, looked at a man that had been dead 4 days, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And that man waddled out of there with his grave clothes, but he came back to life. That same Jesus lives tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. But until you're willing to expose the devil in the framework of the church, you'll never actually expose him. Hallelujah. Because if you read the Bible here, again, Revelation chapter 3, I'm just going to go ahead and do this now. We're going to run into problems if I don't take care of that. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, look at this. What a terrible sight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is Christ standing at? He is standing at the door of his own church. Christ on the outside of his church saying, knocking, let me back in. Why? You say, well, how can he not be in the Christian church? Because Christ is the Word. And the second you decide that your opinion means more than the Word, or your program means more than the Word, your denomination means more than the Word, your feelings about what you think is right and wrong means more than what the Word of God says, you've taken Christ and taken him out of your religion. He stands at the door and knock. Now look, he said, if any man... Why am I emphasizing? Any man. It is an open invitation. If any man, that could be you tonight here. If any man will hear his voice, the invitation is to all. Turn with me to Matthew 11, those of you that have your Bible. We're just getting warmed up, so I hope you're not in too much of a hurry tonight. I got work in the morning too. That's right, I got to help stats right away, according to Maya there. Matthew 11, 25. Let's give God preeminence tonight. We'll sacrifice, stay up for all kinds of silly things. Let's give the Word of God preeminence tonight. I guess I'll be heading back there here in a minute. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. Listen to this now. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Why am I already saying that? Because Christ is on the outside of the church, because the church has got so smart that they know more about God than God knows about himself. But here he is telling you, Jesus lifted up and rejoiced to say, you've hid it from the wise and prudent. Brother, sister, if you're still looking to figure out God and to understand him in your mind, you'll never meet him. Why? We always say it, but it's time for it to become truth. Christ is not a religion so much as he's a relationship. What good would it do for me to go study about my wife all day long and tell you down to the hundredth of an inch how tall she is? How long her hair is, what kind of clothes, and just every little detail. I know everything about her, but I don't never tell her I love her. I don't know what she wants to eat tonight. I don't care about what she wants to do around the house, but I can tell you every little detail about her. It don't mean nothing. And that's what you do when you try to approach God and your wisdom and your heart's way out there somewhere. He doesn't want it. Study the Bible 24/7. If your heart's not in it, you'll never hear from God. Amen. And then you'll watch some ignorant fool walk in. Don't know Jesus from Buddha hardly. But something will stir in his heart and says, if this is the real God, I'll serve him. If this is the true God, I'll believe him. And in 2 seconds time, receive a promise that a theologian will never touch. That's why Jesus rejoiced, because he said it's hid from the wise and prudent, revealed to babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. I think it's time for us to put that eye salve on and make sure that's good in our sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me. Open invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There you go. That's every one of us here tonight. We are all burdened beyond belief sometimes, and we don't have any natural reason to be. What does that prove? It proves the supernatural right then. We have more food than we've ever had as a world. We've had more clothes, more pleasures, and yet we're the most miserable the world's ever seen. Tell you why, because we're not obeying the call yet. Don't come unto church, even though that's good, but this building ain't going to do nothing for you. Brother Trevor brought up over and over, we're just in the warehouse district. That's right. If you want it, you know, there's no cathedral here, or spires and painted glass and everything else. Why? It ain't about the building. It's about Christ that's supposed to be in the building, in the people, making himself known. Not a God that you can't see, a God that you know is real. Amen. Come unto me. All ye, see, you don't let the devil tell you it ain't for you. It is. You're a part of all. All ye who that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Revelations, just listen now. Revelations 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whomsoever will, let him come, or let him take of the water of life freely. Can I read you some quotes tonight here? Oh man, you're all quiet. Come on now. That's right. That's right. You know, I've been on that for a while now, but we got to quit. What was that again? Whispering for God and shouting for the devil. I think we need to go ahead and do that the other way. It is funny how the only place you're not allowed to get excited is the thing that you ought to be the most excited about. Some people wonder why I'm crazy about it. Well, the thing of it is, you don't remember what I was before this. I know what it's like to be burdened and heavy laden and not know what I'm going to do the next day, and I can't handle the pressures of sin and depression and losing and just being such a worthless individual. Yes. But I look in the mirror and I say, why does this guy live? Yes. And people look at a Christian and say, there's no way you thought that. Yes. If you're a real Christian, there was a day you thought that. Because yes. Then you obeyed the call. Yes. And you heard a voice say, come unto me. Don't come under my church. Don't come under my doctrine. Come unto me, the person. And that same person lives tonight. If you could just let your faith loose tonight, you would realize that everything Jesus said and promised, all heavens and earth will pass, but that word won't. If you come unto him, cast your care upon him, take his yoke upon you. Yeah, you're going to look like a fanatic, sure. But if you'll do that, he says, my burden's easy. My yoke is light. I can testify the same as any born-again Christian. My worst day as a Christian far outweighs my best day as a sinner. Because the pleasures of this life don't even hardly last a night. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. It keeps me when I'm down. It keeps me when I'm ready to quit. It gets me back up in the morning. It puts a smile on my face when my heart feels like giving up. Why? Because greater is he that's in me. Amen. Than he that's in the world. Take, oh my, hallelujah. Take the water of life. Be not afraid, it is I, 1962. It says, and today it's the same thing. They're afraid to take a hold of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid to believe God's message. They're afraid to believe the Holy Spirit when they see it working among them. They'll say, now wait a minute, I don't know whether it could be for me or not. It's for whomsoever will. Sure. Healing's for everybody. Right. Salvation is for whosoever will come. Anybody. Be not afraid, it is I. It's Christ. He is not dead. He's alive forevermore and has the keys of death and hell, and there's nothing can harm. Do you believe that? God remains God. Now, this is in the morning service, so I'm going to say this morning quite a bit in this quote. Just apply it to the tonight, all right? Melchizedek, the great prince and king, 55, he says, then what is our hopes built on this morning? Because God swore that he would do it to Abraham. Swore not only to Abraham, but to every one of his seed. What did he promise Abraham and his seed? That they would possess the gates of their enemy. Yeah. Brother, sister, quit making that some hyperbole out there in the world somewhere. No, your enemy right now. That's telling you these promises aren't for you. That the way you came to church, the way you're leaving. Look, I believe come as you are, but I believe you leave changed. Not for the worse, for the better. What's the point if nothing happens in your life? What's the difference? But I believe what Jesus said. If you'll come unto him, I don't care how long you've been under the same oppression of the devil. It could have been your whole life since birth. But if you'll just come unto him, in a moment's time, it can be gone. Why? It's to Abraham and his seed. They will possess the gates of their enemy. Amen. Well, Brother Bram asked the question, though, who is the seed? And if you're not careful right now, Satan will be right in your ear and says, well, that's true, but it ain't you. That's true. That promise is right. That word is right, but it ain't for you tonight. Then he'll say, well, maybe it's for you, Brother Austin, but you're going to have to wait till next week. Jesus is the same tomorrow as he was yesterday, but as long as he keeps you from realizing he's the same now. People always wonder, when's the best time to serve God? There's only one word answer. You want to know what it is? Now. When's the best time to listen to God? Now. When did anybody ever get saved? Now. If you got saved yesterday, you're not saved no more. If you're getting saved tomorrow, they ain't never going to get here. But if you got saved today, oh, hallelujah. God is no Indian giver. If he gives you salvation, you've got it for eternity. Amen. Who is the seed? Listen now. You who have had the invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham. Certainly, there is a people who isn't called, but let every one of you here this morning that's had the call. Excuse me. Why are you here at church? Like he said this morning, I'm going to say, why are you at church tonight? Something told you to come. You know it wasn't the enemy. I'm going to tell you that right now. The devil don't tell you to come to church. Let's go ahead and just solidify our doctrine right now that if something's trying to tell me not to go to church when I can be there, it's the enemy. All right. Well, let's go to the other side too. Well, I went to church, but I just don't know if I'm supposed to be here. No, you're supposed to be here. That's right. I'm going to keep reading here. Something told you to come. You know it was that the enemy tried to get you to do wrong. Tried to get you to do wrong to come to church. You couldn't do that. When you come to church, you're doing right. I just believe it that simple. When you're in the house of God obeying God, you are doing right already. And Jesus said in his own words that no man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all that comes, I'll give him everlasting life and raise him up in the last days. Think of it. Can we think about this just for a second? That every person that comes on the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ is promised eternal life and the resurrection in the last days by the Jehovah God who swore by an oath that he would do it. And he sends his son and confirmed the word. And he swore he would do it. Give it in a type to Abraham, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, raised him up. Amen. Here tonight, brother, sister, the promise is for you. Now, I've got to bring this around. The invitation's given. Everywhere every man goes, the invitation shouts out to him. Then why are so many still groping around in darkness? It's not because the invitation's not there. Because they don't heed the invitation. They don't take it seriously. I'm going to save something towards the end. Going to reel that one in for a minute. Because even when, let me say it like this. Even all the way back when Moses gave the law to Israel, I'm just going to quote this to you. It's Deuteronomy 30:19. It said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life in the length of thy days, that thou may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Turn with me here for a minute. Hebrews chapter 10. And I am going to try best I can not to keep you all night. But Hebrews chapter 10. This actually don't look right. I'm in the wrong chapter somewhere. Where does it talk about Mount Zion? Y'all going to help me out tonight? I know it's Hebrews. Oh, no, it is chapter. Hold up. No, it's not 10. It's 12. There we go. Thank the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. And I'm bringing this to a point, so stay with me now. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard and treated that the word would not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but ye are come. Now, who's he talking to? You believers, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now watch what he says. He says, look, in Moses' time, they came to Mount Sinai. There we go. And remember that the voice of God came down on the mountain, and it was just thunderings and lightnings, and the people got terrified, and they said, I don't want nothing to do with that. All that crazy holy roller stuff. Look at that, man. They get emotional in things. They like cry when they repent instead of just signing their name on a book. I'm going to hold down what Brother Bram said. There's no such thing as a dried eye confession. You want to get right with God, I'm going to tell you right now, this baby will be streaming. Did this boy just the same. That's right. Hallelujah. Why? Because you have to recognize how bad you are before Christ can come and fix you. Amen. There ain't no fixing yourself, brother, sister. If you got anything in your hand to help yourself, you're going to be failing. Hallelujah. But they came to Mount Sinai, and all they saw was thundering, quaking, and judgment. But he's saying, you're coming to Mount Zion. You're coming where God has invited you to come. You've come to where you're part of a spirit of a just man made perfect. Why are you still trying to be made perfect then? I thought you came to Mount Zion. What's happened is God has presented the path of life, but God is not ignorant to tell you what will happen if you don't take that path. Many people think that's what Moses was trying to say. He said, I speak against you because I'm presenting to you life, but I'm also presenting to you death because I know you won't choose life. He told him that. I said, I know that you're going to go off on your own thoughts because I've done watched you do it over and over and over again, and I know you're going to do it again. It's not that the invitation isn't there. It's that people don't take it seriously. Hallelujah. Because if you keep reading, stay with me now, Hebrews 12:24, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised yet once more, I shake not earth only, but also heaven. Oh my, and this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is not some pushover. He is a consuming fire. And what's His God's goal to do is to consume sin. Yes. God presents life. God gives the invitation for life. His will is for you to live. Yes. Did you create yourself? Somebody created you. That would make no sense if God created you to destroy you. He didn't do that. But what happens to man is man has free moral agency no matter what. God will not take away your right to choose. You can choose what path you want to take. That's why every promise I've read to you so far, what does it do? It's not God's fault. He throws it on you. If any man hear my voice and will open the door to me. Everybody wants God to knock the door down, come in there, just strip your free will away from you because you know you make all these dumb decisions. No, you got to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Come on in here. I don't care how dumb I look. I don't care how much I got to tear my life apart. Come in here and fix this mess. Amen. I don't care how long you got the Holy Ghost. If you kick Christ out, you're done. You'll get nowhere with God. Because we're still, look, he's talking to saints and he says that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Brother, sister, never lose that kernel of the right fear you're supposed to have with God. Not this like he's going to destroy me if I do anything wrong. No, that he is who he says he is. He is the creator. He is the righteous judge. He is my father. And if I do something wrong, I'm expecting a whipping. My children fear me when they do something wrong. But here's the thing. I'm not going to kill them. They know that. I'm not going to stop feeding them tomorrow, Brother Roy. They might miss out on snack, but I ain't going to let them starve. And that's the way God. See, people think God's some old doty grandpa over here. Just sits back. Kids are running around breaking everything. They're all right. That ain't how God treats us. He's our Father. Yes, he says, no, come here, son. You ain't going to act like that. Quit it. Right. Now, I don't believe in wailing on kids and beating the snot at them, but sometimes they need a good old, how did Brother Bram say that? Podoplasmic stimulation. Yeah. I do believe in whippings. That's for sure. That's right. But I do believe in all the other stuff too. Don't get me wrong. If you got some other way, you ought to be disciplined. But I think part of it is whippings. Well, that's soft. They're little feelings. Yeah, that's what they turn into. Them little feelings turn into a... Yeah, what we get as adults anymore. Bunch of 50-year-old children. Don't lie to me. I work with them sometimes. Girls, don't you run around with some thoughts now. I ain't saying that. Here's what I want to get you to is that God's invitation is open, but it's up to you to respond. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now watch what he says there. He does not say, if you hear the knocking. I'm gonna let this sink in for a minute. You say, oh man, my life's terrible. That's just the knocking. World's falling apart. That's just the knocking. I need help. That's just the knocking. What'd he say? If you can hear my voice. If you can recognize not just the troubles of life, but recognize there's someone calling me. Not an idea, not a change of mind. There is a person calling me. And that person wants me to open the door to him. But if you don't take it seriously, well, let's just bring it on home. What's he doing? He's knocking, and we can't even hear it. We got our done earbuds on. We got our phone here. We got the computer going over there, TV right over there. And I don't know why I can't hear from God. And don't act like that don't affect every one of you in here. You don't think I've sat in my chair and looked at myself doing this for a minute and says, what am I doing? God is speaking. God all the time. It's man who won't listen just a blink of a second. Because that's all he needs. If you can hear my voice, what'd he say? Open the door. Just open the door. I didn't tell you, I didn't say you had to go fix it. Just open the door of your heart. I'll come in there. I'll sup with you. I'll dine with you. I'll take care of all your problems. Come unto me. Just come. And I'll take care of the rest of it. And if you watch, man will do everything but give his heart to Christ. Even I watch it, I watch they'll maybe have a good emotional time, and I believe emotion ought to be part of it. Remember that young man one time came to Brother Branham, and he said something about how, man, my mama had that kind of religion. Brother Branham said, what kind of religion are you talking about? He said, that heartfelt religion. See, I believe in heartfelt religion because that's the only thing God wants from you. Let that sink in your hearts tonight that the only thing he wants from you is the thing you won't give him. I've watched people give their time. I've watched them go do all kinds of what we call do-gooder stuff, right? Go help the widows. Go be nice and do all these things. And God, here you go. And yet your heart's way over there somewhere. And some thing of the world or some love of something else. And he's saying, why are you giving me all this? I don't want all this. I'll bring it right down to my wife. What good would it do me to buy her the house she wants, dream car, dream clothes, everything else? But then I just come by and say, hey, how you doing? Or give my heart to some other woman. What does all those things mean if my heart's not in it? How much more? When this ain't any man I'm talking about, this is a man that looked at your sins and said, I'll die for it. Looked at what you would do now and said, yeah, take the nails, drive him in. Drive it in, Lord. He felt every bit of that agony. But what did the Bible say? It said, for the joy set before him. What was his joy? You. Because if he didn't die, you would die in your sins. But he took your place. Why can't we just humble ourselves and give him our heart? Don't give him your religion. Don't give him a new code of ethics. Don't give him your discipline. Give him your heart. It's not about hearing the knocking. It's not about hearing something maybe pulling on your mind. No, it's down here, Lord. That's why I do believe we close our eyes. It's to really shut away from everything else. And saying, Lord, if it's really you, I'm going to come open the door of my heart to you. Because I've watched people, they get real close to opening it, don't they? They may even creak it a little bit. Then they realize, oh man, he's probably going to get rid of that. And they realize, yeah, I do kind of love that a little bit more. Shut it on him. When you recognize that the things of the world that you put in front of Christ is you committing adultery with who's supposed to be your husband. Remember in the last, that's the whole point of this message, brother, sister, was supposed to show you that he is not just your Lord, but he is your husband. And where did Eve come from in the beginning? She came right out of the rib of Adam. Why? Right where his heart was she taken. And in this same one, God crucified himself on Calvary. Made himself a man. Gave his life on Calvary for you. That's why they pierced him, that the blood might come out, that you might be expressed and come back around and love him. Why won't he take your free moral agency away? Because if he did, you couldn't prove you loved him. If he took away your ability to choose, it would be the same as a man marrying a robot. Programmed exactly what to do, everything, never nag at me, man. It just does exactly what it's supposed to. You're going to tell me that's love? The only way to prove love is to have a choice to do something else. Yeah. It's time for us to recognize that maybe all this boo-hooing and crying we're doing, saying, God, why me, why me, why is this happening, why is this happening? It ain't his fault. He comes and he comes and he comes and he has patience with you. He endures with your unbelief. He endures with your squabbling and crying, and yet he still invites you, come on in. Most of us wouldn't knock the second time, would we? We go to somebody's house, say, hey, remember back in the day, some of you older folk remember this, you used to go knock on somebody's house to get on in there. Now you better email, text, call, and plan it all a week ahead of time, or they're not going to answer the door. But back then, you used to just go ahead and knock on the door. Well, I'll tell you, what would happen if you saw him open the curtain, look at you, and then close it? Would you keep knocking? Now, how many times have we done that to Jesus? Feel that knocking on our heart. Even you that's been born again, that you know what I'm saying? That come up higher now. Come on. You let me in the house, but how about your private life? You let me in your church life. Can you let me in your private life now? And again, that's why Paul said, I speak a great mystery. When he talked about a husband and a wife, he said, but the real mystery is that I'm talking about Christ in the church. And brother, if you had to hide anything from your wife, what's going to happen? She's going to think something behind that last door. I don't care if it's just one little box somewhere hidden around it. It looks so insignificant. Nobody knows about it. If you ain't going to show it to me, I have a trust issue right now. And if we do that to the Lord, just expect the problem is he knows what's in the box. We're the ones that are silly enough to try to keep hiding things from him like he don't know. You ever get a confession that way? I have. Lord, just help me, you know. And it's like, just shut up and say it. But you try not to say it because you want to feel pious and religious and still feel a little good about yourself. No, Lord, I'll just say it like this. I'm going to call it out. I don't care. The Bible, Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman, he's committed adultery with her in his heart.
That's right.
When are we going to get down and say, Lord, you know what? I'm sorry, I committed adultery. Yeah. Anybody man enough to say that? No, we want to say, Lord, but you know, I didn't, I did this, I did, no. Confession won't get you nowhere then. That's right. You say, how in the world can you do that? With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus didn't say, turn a new leaf, change your mind. He said, you must be born again. Don't look at your obstacles and say, I can't overcome this. He already knows that. That's why he says, don't you even try it. Come up here, die. Let me resurrect you. You can't be born again and be the same person. And you can't love who you are now unless you recognize there's something wrong with me. I need a change. Your confession won't get you all the way there. You'll give some half-hearted. Actually, I got a quote. I'm going to read it here. From that time, 1962, he said, God never did bless Abraham until he fully obeyed him. He took his father. The old man was always a hair in the soup. He said, but he was always wrong. And Abraham, then he got Lot. Then he finally went down there. And after Lot separated himself, then God said to Abraham, rise and walk through the land, and I'll give you all of it. It's all yours. See, he never fully blessed him until Abraham fully obeyed. And you'll never be able to get anything from God and have favor with God, my brothers and sisters, wherever you are, until we fully obey the word of God. You make yourself miserable by just half-heartedly approaching it. You make yourself miserable half-heartedly approaching God. Saying, brother, should I be at the altar every week? I'm going to say it like this, if you need it. That's right. But I do think a Christian ought to learn to do that on his own time. That's right. I do believe there ought to be a place where you don't go weeks and weeks and days away from God. The second you can feel, I've left him. Something stirs on him. He says, Lord, forgive me. Bring me back. Amen. And God is right there, ain't he? Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How many believes that?
Yes.
And look at us, ignorant, foolish creatures we are, act like he leaves us. And yet he's proved it over and over and over again. That's right. There should be a tombstone that says, Rodney Ochoa, 17 years old, dead. That's right. Middle-aged man, dead. That right, Brother Warren? There should be a tombstone that says, there should be one for this little boy at 15 years old. Fell on 30 feet and all I had was a broken ankle and a couple scrapes. Thank God I at least had a father that came to me in the high school and told me the truth. Or in the hospital, sorry, rather. After I'd fallen all that way and, you know, there's a little bit of shell shock and things. Anybody goes through something like that, you know, you don't really comprehend it for a while. I was sitting in that hospital. They had my legs all propped up and I'm just trying to, I don't know, pass the time a little bit. My dad came in there. I don't say this because he's there. I'm saying it because it's true. Came in there and he says, I want to ask something. Were you ready to meet your maker? He remembers this. I said, I think so. And right then my heart condemned me so bad. Why don't you know so?
think so. Look, if I was going to make an investment, maybe on my house or something, I think maybe this would be a good idea. This is our souls in the balance. This ain't something to think. Maybe I'm right. And that's where God started working on me. What if I would have died? You begin to realize, what stopped my head from hitting rocks all the way down that hill? What made it to where the river was so low I didn't fall right in the water and drown? What made me get up, put my feet up on a log, and put my shoes as a pillow? Exactly what was the best thing I should have done, and I had not the slightest clue what had even happened to me. What did that? I'm saying, it's not what did that. That's a disservice. Who did that? I've been in some rough times, brother. So you have two, and this ain't me showboating. I've got one to give glory to. That's him. And I'm here to tell you, I came at the invitation of church for 2 years and would not give God my whole heart. You want to know what I was? What Brother Bram said, the most miserable creature on the planet. Go pray. God, don't let me do this. God, don't let me do this. And knowing the whole time, I didn't have to do this if I just give it over to him. I said, no, I'll have God my way. No, God wants you his way. You don't get to tell him what to do. He tells you what to do. Now, that would sound really bad if this God didn't love you beyond all comprehension. Hallelujah. And I'll say this, I thank God I went through that and woke up before I died. Sometimes we look at the hardest thing of our life not recognizing that was the best thing that happened to us. Because Satan, that's why I'm so condemning this age. The lukewarmness is the worst condition to be in. First off, you're not getting anywhere. You're still not saved. But now you're just miserable because you know you're not on anybody's team. If you might as well just quit and go serve the devil if you're not going to serve God with all your heart. And Satan will come by. What will he tell you? Totally contradict what I started with, that it's for you. He said, well, I guess it's not for you. Then might as well just quit. Don't forget, it's an open invitation. It is for you. And how do you know? Something in here starts stirring, don't it? Something here starts stirring. And I remember the whole time, man, I've watched people say, I don't know if I got the Holy Ghost or not. I don't know if I did. I don't understand that. Because I know when I was ready to receive God into my life, I knew what was in the way. God was not negligent to tell me what I had put between me and him. Why does God hate sin? It's not because he hates you. It's because he loves you. Saying, what does that mean? He hates your sin because your sin keeps you from him. So instead of making you overcome it, what did he do? He said, I'll pay for it. I'll pay it in full. So that way he can restore fellowship back to you. How am I going to get in there, brother? You need to fully obey him. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that to you here in a minute. My, what a service tonight. His unfailing word of promise, 1964, it says, and I truly believe that every word of God, every promise that he made is true. And it's to anybody who will accept it. And now there are some who try to accept it and cannot. There's others who can't accept it, and some get it without even half trying. You say, does that contradict what we're saying? No. If you could just believe him, it's not trying. Remember that song? I think Brother Brooks sings it all the time. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wondering, but in praying that we find the strength of the Lord. Amen. Listen, I'm going to close here in a minute. He says, now that we have to preach the gospel, that healing is to all, yet we know it's not. It's to all if they can receive it, but we know that they all cannot receive it. I just want to be honest with you as I know how to be. We have to preach salvation the same way. Now, salvation is for all, but we know that all cannot receive it. All men cannot see these things. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes that can see your understanding, for they cannot understand it. And divine healing is for the people who believe, but you cannot believe until something is within you to make you believe. Go back with me as I close tonight. Revelation 3 again. What we started with. Do you love him tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. Look beyond the veil, children. Your help cometh from the Lord. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. I will come into him. See, it's a promise, brother, sister. If you open the door, he will come. I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I believe with all my heart the world can hear the knocking. They can see the judgment on every side. I think it don't take much to realize this world is hanging on by a thread. That all it would take is the wrong person at the wrong time to have the wrong day. One world leader somewhere. Look, it ain't about the first nuke. It's what happens after that. What are we going to do? What are you going to do if Russia decides they're going to nuke us? What are we going to do about it? You say, well, nuke them back. Well, that's just going to make the world twice as destroyed. Now what? Or let them do it. Well, now they're just going to pump us into the ground and do whatever they want. Yes. See, that's why. Why do you think the whole nuke thing is such a terrible balance? Like, they got on Donald Trump one time and said, would you use nuclear power? He said, if we needed to. And that terrified people. You're right. But what else are you going to say? You're going to tell your enemies we're just bluffing. We ain't going to use what we have. Right. That's not going to work either. This world hangs on by a thread. And you are the privileged people with the eyes to see the reason it hangs on. It's because God holds the world for his children. He says, your names are on my hands. And I won't lose a one. You're saying, you're telling me this whole world will stay the way it is just because one son of God ain't come back yet. Yes! People think that politics what's holding this world together. It's Christ. Amen. Because Christ, if he would just let man always have his way, man destroys himself. And they try to blame God. I love it. When anything, I don't love this, but it's just the way it is. When anything goes bad, God's the first one to get the blame. When things go good, he's the last one to get the credit. Which is it? Right now, look. Take a good breath in. How come you're able to do that? Who gave that to you? Did you earn it? Did you pay for it? Did you ask for it? Gave to you freely. Amen. Feel it. Why is that beating right now? Who's doing that? Well, if you want to believe what the world says, you're just a pile of cells that just blew up someday and here you are. But I believe a God that had an intention. How can this world be purposeless and create these creatures like us that are obsessed with our purpose? How could the world that doesn't have a purpose create something that didn't exist? It shows this world had a purpose from the beginning. How, if this is random, how can we know where a solar eclipse is coming to the minute across the world? This ain't random. This was placed. What were the whole expanses of the universe placed for? You. Does he love us? I think he's proved it. And then to think, let's bring it on home. The times we doubt him. The times we complain. The times we want, and he still keeps coming. The times we shut the door on him, and he still keeps knocking. The times we treat him like dirt, and he still keeps loving us. The time we treat our neighbor like dirt, and that's a son of God standing over there. The time we're casting dirt at each other, and God's saying, what are you doing? That's my child. When's the church going to look at each other, sons and daughters of God? I'm going to tell you right now, half of what happens wouldn't happen. Right. It don't do you no good to even witness to anybody if you don't even believe they can be saved. Right. Quit wasting your time. Yeah. Sure. And I'm tired of it. I'm just sick of this. People acting like this is a closed invitation, like this message came to shut everybody out. No, it came to show you the only way in. Why does it seem so inclusive? Because God just knows. He knows the path to life. Why? He is the path of life. And it's not that he's saying, well, I'm just some boastful creature. No, it's just the only way. You can't do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it. You'll never be good enough for the grace of God. So why are you still trying? The grace of God is a gift. The Holy Ghost, God's Spirit coming into a person. That's a reality. Too many people get just an idea in their head and they think, well, that's good enough. Yeah, come back next week. I guarantee you're right back where you used to be. But if the Holy Ghost ever gets into a person's heart, their life is never the same. It's not a changing of the mind that'll get you out of this world. It's a change of the heart. That's right. Hallelujah. I've been reading. Let me just close this. I'll try to keep myself from going on too long. I'm telling you right now, I feel His inspiration. I think you all recognize the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us. I've been reading the message, He Cares, Do You Care? And over and over and over, Brother Bram says, God cares for you, but you got to care first. He's saying, how does that work, brother? Well, here's the thing. The Word is a seed. The Word is a seed. What does that mean? It's not that the Word is a tree. It'll become a tree, though. How do you get a tree from a seed? You got to have the faith to take that seed, plant it in God's promise, and leave it alone. And what do most of us do after we plant our healing down? What do we do the first time we feel anything? Dig it right back up and say, well, guess there's nothing to it. And wonder why I don't get nowhere. And I've recognized almost all problems. Look, God does miracles. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of times where He just does it of His own sovereignty. But that's not His direct promise. His promise is He will do it. He will heal. He will save. He will fill you with the Spirit of God. He will do these things if you will believe Him. Because if you'll plant that seed, there's this period of time. And this is what Brother Trevor was trying to get at. I hope it makes sense now. Where there's no evidence. There's no evidence anything happened. You plant a seed. Go back after a day and go look for it. If it's a real seed, it almost dissipates. It's pretty much gone. And it will die. But what happens if you just leave it alone? That seed don't just disappear. It starts creating evidence. It starts coming back up. And all of a sudden, there's a little blade come up. And all of a sudden, when you wake up in the morning, you don't have those thoughts of despair no more. You think, there's a reason to get up this morning. You look at the sun. I'm talking about blades. Anybody had starting at blades? I started at blades. I know what it's all about. All of a sudden, the Word of God isn't something that just condemns you all the time. You start reading, oh, that's for me. Oh, that is my promise. He did mean that. You start, see, little blades, and they keep growing and growing and growing. And if you'll stay with the Word of God before you know it, the same seed that went in the ground is the same thing that comes up. The same Jesus that was planted on Mount Calvary now comes up out of you. And He does the same things. I'm not talking psychology now. I'm talking He does the same things through you that He did Himself. Just like when He met the woman at the well, told her exactly what her problem was. Are we to that place yet where we realize that we ought to be agents for Him to speak to people? And it's so subtle, brother, sister, but Jesus proves Himself the same in every believer. I'm going to prove that here tonight. He is the same right now. He knows every thought that's going through your mind. He's saying, can He tell you, Brother Andrew? He tells me some things. How many can testify to that? Not always, but He'll tell me some things. But what is that for? What is that for, brother, sister? Is that for you to look at Brother Andrew and try to rest your faith in me? I'm here to tell you, you'll be sorely displeased. You will be completely dissatisfied here sorely. But if you can recognize, it's not me that's saying that. It's Him. And if He can convince you that He's here, that's right, no sickness can kill you. How many can testify that's the truth? No devil can take you away from the Word of God anymore. No matter how many times you fall, there is something to rise in you and to come back. What does it, brother, sister? I'll tell you what does it. That God's invitation is open. Always. Let's stand together tonight. Oh, I just love His Spirit here with us. What is that song? I Can Hear My Savior. If you don't know this chorus here, let's do the key of F, brothers. 168. Let's give God a little praise tonight.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior call. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
Sing that again.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior. Cross and follow me.
Sing it one more time here. Believe it now.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and
bow your heads before the Lord. There's something when He walks into a service. I pray if you've got a spiritual bone in your body at all, you recognize there's one here in our midst that's not your pastor. What are you doing, Brother Andrew? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm getting out of his way. I felt him come in here just about a minute ago. I challenge you to believe what I'm saying and see if God won't come and show you that He loves you. Saying, can He really prove Himself the same today? He will. But it's your heart that has to open the door. Even with all the supernatural, all the discernments, even Brother Branham did, I do believe with all my heart, that person has to believe first, or that thing can't come. Brother, sister, I believe with all my heart, there's not too much time left. But the days of playing church are long gone. The days of wondering if we're saved or not, if we've been redeemed or not, need to end. Just stay as reverent as you know how to, just for a few moments here. And if you ever believe God to be alive, believe it right now. And He'll come by and prove it. I don't say that presumptuously. I say that as a servant of Jesus Christ. Some of these boys already accepting the call, coming up to the altar. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I commit to You my spirit. Lord, as I prayed in my Bible years ago, prove to my generation that You are still the same today. You have sent us the true word in these last days. Now You have revealed Yourself here amongst Your people. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Brother, sister, that's it. Believe with all your heart and watch Him come and help you. Be with you. Be with you.
Sometimes I think I need to get a little bit further away from you so you can recognize how much it's God that knows these things and not me. Yeah, I didn't presume when I said those things, did I, Brother Rodney, Brother Warren? That was exactly right. He just proved it. Even to myself, I thought I was just spouting off numbers and things. It wasn't, was it? Hallelujah. He washed them back then. He's still watching for you now, brothers. Just keep coming up higher. Keep coming up higher. Keep believing with all your soul and watch Him show you if there's something between you and Him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm catching a lot fast. Sister Violet's burden for her children, obviously she has that. But her real burden is to make sure that she's being the right light. See, only God knows that that's what's in her heart. We all know her children need prayer, but that's really what's burning her right now. Who knows her heart? Not me, not your brother. Please get rid of any thought of me right now. Hear His voice and live. I wonder how many more times this is going to happen before people, before it's done. And that's it. Lord Jesus. I really don't even feel like I'm standing here right now, to be honest with you, brother, sister. That's it. If you feel all ready to come, you go ahead and come up here. You say, why do the children come so fast? Because they come the way Jesus said. They don't worry about what you think. They don't worry about what they look like. They just got to get right. And they come get right. Lord Jesus, please, Lord, help. Just for your glory's sake, Lord. Feel that one that really can just see right through your heart right now? Aren't you tired of just hiding from Him? Brother Joshua, it's fine, brother. You just confess yourself. Don't be distracted no longer, my brother. Just focus on Christ. Just give Him your whole heart, brother. It'll be just fine. Brother, you know exactly what you're talking about. You're just tired of fighting the same thing. Even in service many times, brother, you've been fighting it, haven't you? You're trying to stay focused on Christ, getting bothered with this thing, that thing, something else. Even if it's not family, it's something in church. And Satan's got you so wrapped up into that. You're like, can I even hear from God? Or do I just come to church? Brother, you're hearing from God right now. You're His child. He set you free tonight. You can't hide anything from Him, and there's no reason to. Why hide it? Just for the sake of conscience, can each one of you just testify? Just raise your hand. Oh, if that was from the Lord to you, raise your hand for me. God bless you. God bless you, brothers. Hallelujah. Don't turn down His call. Don't look for somebody else to do it for you. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to know Him. I'm so glad to find that peace for my soul. I'm so glad that when I fail and stumble, He still loves me and takes care of me. Thank you, Jesus. I challenge you, just you, your own way right now. You pray to Him. And I want you to talk to Him. That's why, like I said, we close our eyes. Get in that place where it's just you and Him. And just tell Him everything that's on your heart. wherever you are in your spirit. Some of you have been serving God faithfully for years. You've been feeling that place of stagnancy, just feeling like, well, maybe I'm just going through the motions. But no, you're not, brother. Just keep serving Him. Hallelujah. It'd be nice if some of us stayed in the fold once in a while instead of going astray all the time. Praise God for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, grant to each one. Being so pressed about something I normally wouldn't do, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's making me do this. If I don't do it now, the moment might pass. God wouldn't just be on the outside, but something was stirring in the inside of every heart that's here. That, Lord, You'll make that final great call. Prepare us for the coming of the Lord. knowing that this world is soon to pass, but I believe the children of God won't have to stay here through all this judgment. But you'll take us home. Take us home to the home you've made for us, Lord. And I pray that any weight that's easily beset the children of God, that tonight each one would go free, that each one would come unto you, Lord, at the open invitation, and leave free from sin, free from shame, free from guilt of their past, and leave in the peace and joy of Jesus Christ. Lord, as a minister, I've preached your word, I've presented it. But Lord, I know it's up to each heart to open the door to you, but I pray with all my soul, Lord, let them do it. Let them do it. Let them find, let them taste and see how good the Lord truly is. Lord, even us that's been in this message, God, help us to get back to fellowship with you. To listen to the tape and hear that it's God speaking. To read our Bible and realize it's God speaking. To get on our knees in prayer and realize we're having a conference with God Almighty. Destroy these religious devils in our lives. Restore our fellowship back, Father. And Lord, I ask it in that name that cannot fail. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's make that our prayer tonight. We'll sing that right before we go here. Just sing it with all your heart. Where he leads me, I will follow. Services like this, brother, sister. And if the anointing had left me, I would probably be more easy just to go ahead and say, God bless you, see you. But the presence of the Lord is here. And I challenge each one of you before you go tonight to not leave one promise of God on the ground. But what you haven't taken in your hand and say, Lord, this was mine. Planted it into God's word. Say, Lord, you told me I could have my deliverance. You told me I could have my peace. You told me I could have joy. Plant it. I could have my family. I could have my healing. Every promise that God has given. Plant it here tonight and walk out saying, no matter what comes, I know I'll reap what God has given to me. Was it good to be in God's house here tonight? You just want to worship Him and thank Him just a minute? Just your own way. Thank you, blessed Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to your word. Thank you for being here amongst us, Lord. Thank you for proving yourself the same. Praise your holy name. Thank you for your love for me, Lord. Thank you for your great patience with me, Father. Thank you for all that you've done and taken care of me all the days of my life. I praise you and thank you. Oh, I love you and cherish you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just going to let us be dismissed on that tonight. I know it's a little unorthodox, but I just appreciate Him so much, and I think we ought to just worship Him as we go. Dad, you go ahead and take it. God bless you, saints. You need to be dismissed tonight. You can't. Girls, Shanice again, it's good to see you all tonight. God bless you. We love you.